Hello again. That was pretty intense, that last song. Goosebumps. In a good way. If you have your Bibles, please open to Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 to 20. I'm going to read through these with you before we dive right in. I'm reading from the ESV, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Verse 14. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and, as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. Verse 17. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the sword of God, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints and also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. I ask for the same boldness as well, so that I can speak the word of God. Let's pray again. Father, I just thank you for your word. I thank you that we can confidently hold to it because it is true, it is right, and it is good in every way. I thank you that you see us and you care for us, and that you give us grace, and that we can depend on your work and your hand to sustain us through all situations, through all the trials that we go through, all the testings, the temptations that come, that we have you that we can look to for strength and ability to be able to withstand the day, the evil day. I thank you again for each person, young to old, that is here this morning. I ask again that you would soften our hearts as we hear the word, as we study through together, and would you give us clarification and comprehension into your truth so that we can take it and hold tight to it. And for all those who are not able to be here, as we have prayed for a few that are going through struggles in their own life, physically, and maybe at this very moment mentally, doubting, questioning, would you send your Spirit, let your Spirit do its work in them, whether that be physically for healing, but most of all, I think about the mind. And all through Scripture, Father, we can read that the mind is an important thing that we are to take care of. Our physical bodies are dying, but our mind matters. So open our minds and our hearts to your word now. In Jesus' name, amen. So, this is the second part. If you weren't here last week, I'm not doing that one again today. This is the second part. So last week was from now on with Ephesians 6, 10 to 20, which we just read. This is from now on as well. From now on, we must hold to the strength of the Lord. We must hold on to Him. We must depend on His strength from now on. So from now on, we're putting on the armaments. We're putting on what we have for battle as good Christian soldiers. And something this week, it did feel like Satan and all his little minions were trying to come against many things that I know Rachel and I, with Samaritan's Purse, different things, lots of different things that seemed like Satan and his little minions were just out there trying to come against us. And it at times felt a little bit overwhelming with conversations and questions and things that were brought, I know for myself, my way. But even with that, I know, and my confidence is in the Lord. So my strength was in Him, and I had to put on the armaments. I've been thinking about that a lot for quite some time, and how we will face lots of situations, and we must not be naive to think that we will not have the temptations that are to come. Read James, read the book of James. You're going to see it. Temptations will come. They will come your way. Trials, situations are going to come. You can read it through many places more than James, through Scripture. They're going to come. But we have the ability through the work of the Spirit and through God to be able to overcome those situations and to have victory. And we work from victory, victory in Christ. But Satan wants us to believe we have not won and will use many avenues with the world and the flesh in hopes of keeping us from the sanctifying work of the Spirit. We have an important message to share with the world, and Satan wants us to become more focused with ourselves by thinking we do not have victory in our faith and to lose sight of the gospel message that the world needs. And not only the world, but we believers need the gospel every day. Last week, I mentioned that a soldier knows they have commands to follow. There are commanding verbs. Diane actually asked me last week, what were the commanding verbs? My mind went blank and I couldn't think of them. I was like, be strong? That's the one I said. But they are be strong, which is one commanding verb. And put on and take up and stand. So there's a commanding verbs that we have throughout this text, some, but we need to hold to them. 2 Timothy 2, 3-4 says, share in suffering as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No soldier gets entangled in civilian pursuits, since his aim is to please the one who enlisted him. We got a sneaker. Verses 11 to 13. As you put on the armor of God, you will have the means to stand against evil. As I said from Wiersbe, if you don't remember last week, in other words, as believers, we do not fight for victory, we fight from victory. The Spirit of God enables us by faith to appropriate Christ's victory for ourselves. Our victory is in Christ's work. And we are able to stand by faith and in the strength of the Lord. So with one of the commanding verbs, we are to be strong. With the other one, we are to stand. First, I believe it is imperative that we walk in victory. Sometimes as believers, we may think that the schemes of Satan will not affect us, which I've already said. But we are told to stand against the schemes of the devil. In verse 11, we can see that. Be ready in this evil day and stand in victory. The second, I believe we could withstand to tell ourselves often that we do not fight against people. And when we do fight with our flesh, instead of with the power of the Spirit, we give the opportunity of temptation. Our fight is with cosmic powers, spiritual forces of evil. Verse 12, which we just read not long ago. All too frequently we forget who our battle is with, and we fight with people. Maybe our boss, maybe other brothers and sisters in Christ, maybe our children in home or out of home, our spouses, or maybe the doubts that we never accomplished everything we wanted to in life when our years are coming to an end. But it is Satan who does not want the gospel to spread. It is Satan who seeks to deceive a person in order to have them oppose the gospel. It is our duty to take action and to be ready to stand firm in our faith. This is why it is important that we fill our minds with the gospel truths every day. And when Paul started this letter to the Ephesians in Ephesus, he started with the gospel they already believed in through faith. Their foundation was in Christ, and the armor was theirs to put on. As for us as believers, it is ours to put on. Something I was thinking about as I was writing this. Think about, not that I ever do this, think about the last time you had a fight with your wife. Did you really have to say the last word just to be right? Or only to make your point stick or hurt? When we battle, we have no need of using the sword of our flesh. We often do. The flesh only wants to please itself. Satan only wants to kill, steal, and destroy. What God deemed good, and he used, Satan only wants to kill, steal, and destroy what God deemed good. And he uses the world and our flesh to try to defeat us. So in verse 14 of Ephesians, we have Paul telling us to stand. I just want to read it again. Stand, therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth and having put on the breastplate of righteousness. So we have the stand, the commanding verb of standing. This is the third time he has used stand. Verse 11, he used stand. And then verse 13, stand firm. And now stand, therefore. Stand for this reason, making the best use of your time because the days are evil. That's from Ephesians 5:16. The imperative word stand is something to be noted because it is insistent and crucial to stand, holding your ground in the truth of the gospel by putting on the belt. Brothers and sisters, stand in victory and fight from victory found in Christ. As a good soldier would stand his guard, we, all together, each of us, must stand our ground or hold the line. I always think about the battle line. Hold the line. This is all the more reason that the church needs to stand together. Satan is prowling, seeking to devour. Stand together and hold the ground and fight off the spiritual forces with the power that we are given. As we get into these armaments, Satan is not like God. Something else somebody said to me last week too. Satan is making me think about this too. When we get into the armaments, Satan is not like God. God created him. He was created by God. God is all-knowing, all-powerful, omnipresent. He is everywhere. Satan has none of those. He has none of those attributes. Those are not his characters. He has none of those. God has all those. So Satan can only do what God has let him. He is a liar. Satan is a liar. But God has full control and has won victory through Christ. And Christ has won victory. We have won victory through Christ. There we go. We have won victory through Christ and the work of Christ. So our belts. The belt of truth. What is the belt? What is the belt that we have? So in your bulletins, you can look on there at the picture that is there for you as we think about this. The belt. It's not an exact representation, but the belt was what held all the armor together. It's kind of hard to comprehend or fathom sometimes, but the belt would hold it all together, because I know my shirt is sometimes separate. My shirt tucks into my pants, and then my belt holds it all in place. Sometimes my shirt wants to pull out, but it's all held in place. My pants stay up because of the belt, unless I have pants that fit really good and I don't need a belt. Otherwise, they don't stay up. And then my children might come along and try to pull on my pants just to bug me or tease me. This belt reveals an imperative representation. If a soldier was to be stabbed through the loins where the belt is located, it was to inflict a blow, a fatal blow. Starting from the belt of truth, we then put on other pieces of armor, as I've already stated. When we put on the belt of truth, we are able to consistently work with all the other battlements. Our character and moralities will come from the truth of the victorious work of Christ. Our character and moralities will come from the truth of the victorious work of Christ. In order to live from truth, our conscience must be clear to withstand the enemy fearlessly. Remember David when he lied with his life with Bathsheba? I'm sure you've read this story. If not, I recommend you do. He lied about Bathsheba, and nothing came of it that was good. Only death come of it. Death was knocking at his door. But David did make himself right with the Lord. We need to remember that, though. It did happen, but he was made right with the Lord by his own confession. So we must characterize a life of truth. Something I think about, too, is the Passover. And when they were getting ready with the Passover and they were to keep everything on, to be dressed, to be ready to go, all their sandals, all their physical outer clothing, they had to keep it all on to be ready to go. They were supposed to eat in haste. You can read about that in Exodus. They had to be ready for action. We too must be ready for action. So no matter what day we're in, we are fully ready to defeat Satan, to be fully dressed. So when you go to bed tonight, do not take off any of your clothes. Keep all your clothes on. Keep your shoes on, whatever you got on. No, you can take, you can do whatever you want. I mean, if you really want to, you can. But it is a good representation for us that we need to think about it. Or maybe when you eat, you should sit down with everything on, your jackets today when you get home, or if you go to the restaurant and sit there with it all ready to go and in haste. But we really do need to keep on the armaments. We need to keep them on. We need to be ready for whatever comes our way. So the breastplate of righteousness. So that was the belt. The breastplate of righteousness. Our breastplate of righteousness needs to be put on. So it is putting on, ultimately it's putting on truth is what this is to do with. Truth of the word. Righteousness, truth of God's word. But what else is it here? Well, to start with, righteousness is used in the sense to morally put on correct behavior and thinking. Our morals should come from the word of God in order to have right thinking or to be having good morality. Isaiah 59:17 says, he put on righteousness as a breastplate and the helmet of salvation on his head, and put on garments of vengeance for clothing, and wrapped himself in zeal as a cloak. Then in Isaiah 61:10 it says, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall exult in my God, for he has clothed me with garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness. A bridegroom decks himself like a priest with a beautiful headdress, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. Then in 1 Thessalonians 5:8 it says, but since we belong to the day, let us be sober, having now the commanding verb, put on, the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. So we're putting on. That's the truth we're putting on. Remember what Paul said about the day in verse 13? He said, withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand firm, it's not just standing, but done all to be able to stand firm. Our breastplate in 1 Thessalonians 5:8 is to put on faith and love. We can stand against Satan and his attacks when we put on the breastplate of righteousness by living out practical application. We stand against Satan and his schemes by giving no opportunity for him to defeat us and living out faith and love. Practical application. Paul gave lots of application to us in the last chapter, chapter 5, and into chapter 6 when he talked about husbands, he talked about wives, he talked about children, which I brought up earlier already. Those are applications for us. And every day we have the ability to act on our applications, to be able to act out what we say we believe. Words can be few if we don't have actions. Along with this, we have 1 Corinthians 1:30. It says, "And because of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God, righteousness and sanctification and redemption. We are justified by Christ in order to live out the sanctification process." Sanctification is a work by the Spirit, lived out, and how we respond in many situations. This is why I believe Paul, as I just said to you, used the church and wives and husbands, because there was an action to be lived out. Or when you're with your boss, or when you're laboring, what is your reaction when you don't always have the best response from someone else? What is your reaction when you're with someone who is unsaved? What do you do with that person? Sometimes we fear right away, and we're not certain of what to say or how to say it. If we say the wrong thing, will we offend them? Will we do something that may not be right in how we respond to them? It doesn't mean that that fear is going to go away as we share the gospel. I often fear when I go out to share the gospel. I get kind of stressed out a little bit, and then I'm like, What is there to stress about? I've been given life and been given hope, and I want to tell this person about the hope that is there for them. And then whenever I start, the Lord always takes care of it, brings the words. We're not always going to be perfect in what we say, but God is perfect in everything he does. So the breastplate, we need it. We need to put it on, so that we can fend off Satan and his flaming darts. So shoes, I'm sure most of you, hopefully, if you have shoes on today. If you don't, please come talk to me or someone else and we will get you some shoes if you need some. But shoes are needed, and they didn't have shoes the same way we do today and boots the way we do, but I don't think they had the snow that we have today either. But they had sandals. But there is a representation for us with this. Something else I was thinking about too is when you go skating and you go on the ice, it's probably the best use of your time to put on skates if you're going to play hockey or if you're going to skate around or figure skate. I don't think you're going to go on the ice with just your shoes on. I mean, you can. I've done it before. But it's not going to have the same effect as when you wear skates. It has more use. And hockey players not only put on skates, I'm sure you've watched hockey, they not only put on skates, but they also put on equipment to protect them, and it is a full-force sport. But hockey players are pretty stupid, though, when they pull off their gloves and their helmet, and then they get into a fight, and they smack each other around, and then they become bruised and hurt, and the crowd goes wild. But it's kind of foolish when you put on the equipment, but then all of a sudden, then when you get a little excited or frustrated or irritated, you rip all the things off that you're supposed to be using to protect yourself. So we're not supposed to do that. We're not supposed to be like a hockey player and pull off our helmet when we come into battles, when Satan wants to deceive us and trick us. We need to keep the helmet on. It wouldn't be very beneficial for you. So keep it on. So with the shoes, we need to do the same thing. We need to keep those shoes on. The sandals of a soldier were put on. And it gave them stability in order to stand in the battlefield. The Bible Knowledge Commentary refers this. It says, this refers to the believer's stability on a sure-footedness from the gospel, which gives him peace so he can stand in the battle. Not only did a Roman soldier wear shoes, they had the lower legs covered with metal plates along with, which you can probably see a little bit in the picture there. Again, not exact representation, but it's in there. along with sandals. So they had metal plates along with sandals, and they were connected together. But those sandals were studded with nails. I don't know if you've ever heard this before, but if you haven't, it's true. There was nails studded in there so that they would have sure-footedness to be able to stand firm, to be able to go over different leveling of land. So in order for us to stand firm, we need gospel shoes. And because of God's peace given to us from the gospel, we can withstand and stand and not fear Satan. We can stand and hold firm our ground when the attacks may come, because we are securely footed with peace as with nails on our shoes. Romans 5:1 is a good representation for that. Second meaning that we can take from this as well, though, is readiness. To do God's will as soldiers and to bring the good news of the gospel, Satan wants to battle, and we bring the gospel of peace to come against them. A conquering Christian is a victorious witness of the gospel. So be ready every day to bring good news of the gospel of peace. Luke 1:7-9 says, "To give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace." Romans 10:15 says, "And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news." I remember when I first come here, and I didn't have any other shoes to wear, so I wore flip-flops. And how beautiful are the feet of those who come to preach good news. Verse 16, it talks about the shield. And now, in the ESV, it says circumstances. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. In all situations, we are to take up our shield. This shield would have been 4 feet long, roughly, and roughly about 2 feet wide, or 2.5, which has been stated. But this shield was a useful piece of equipment. This shield as well covered all the other armaments underneath of it. But not only was it large, it would have been heavy and made of wood and held in the left hand. This shield was draped with leather to withstand fiery arrows, giving protection all around. As I said, covering all the other things that are going to be underneath. With the ability to interlock with soldiers, the shield protects, and it is useful. And this shield that protects against the fiery darts, the fiery arrows, or the fiery spears, fiery arrows and then spears that are thrown. But our means of protection is not only for ourselves, but for those who battle alongside us. And again, I want to remind you of what Paul brought up. He said that we are to submit to one another. He was talking about submission with the church of believers. He was talking about with brothers and sisters. He was talking about husbands and wives and submission and all those areas, and with children. And Paul brought those because they're beneficial for us. And we as brothers and sisters in Christ need to protect, first of all, ourselves, but as well those around us. It's a working effort to protect one another. So we interlock our shields together as we battle against the fiery arrows of Satan. Because he wants to deceive us. He wants to trick us. He doesn't want us to stand together. He doesn't want us to win in the end as Job did. Warren Wiersbe, I'm going to use him again. Warren Wiersbe, the faith mentioned here is not saving faith, the shield of faith, but rather living faith. A trust in the promises and the power of God. Faith is a defensive weapon that protects us from Satan's fiery darts. In Paul's day, arrows dipped in some inflammable substance and ignited were shot at the enemy. We never know when Satan will shoot a dart at us. So we must always walk by faith and use the shield of faith. Satan shoots fiery darts at our hearts and our minds, and for example, those are lies, blasphemous thoughts, hateful thoughts about others, doubts, and burning desires for sin. That's what Satan likes to shoot at us with his darts. If we do not by faith quench these darts, they will light a fire within, and we will disobey God. Satan can attack today as we gather together. It's a possibility. I was thinking about this too. As we're in music, and sometimes we may not always know, whether that's this time or any other time, we don't always know the words. And then we start to look around and we kind of daze off, or we look up and then we see that Brandon didn't clean the fan. We forgive you, Brandon. I can hold the ladder for you. I'm teasing. I didn't really look at it that close. So we can easily do that, and Satan wants to come along and do so. Or maybe I'm up here and you're like, I can't stand his voice. His voice is, just gets on my nerves, whatever it may be. And then we start to take our focus and shift off of what is glorifying to God, and that is to come together, to worship together, and to grasp what is being said for us in the scripture, whether that's as we do it in music or whether that's as we do it in word. So we need to make sure that our minds are focused on what's right, because Satan wants to deceive us. He wants us to think that we need to focus on other things more than other things. He thinks that we need to focus on, Satan wants us to focus on our flesh and other people and all the things that they do to us instead of being humble and gracious to one another. And then in verse 17, we're supposed to put on our helmet. This helmet is the helmet of salvation. And then we're going to be picking up the sword. The last two armors we need, just as much as we need all the other ones. So we take the helmet of salvation. The helmet would have been made of skin, covered with bronze and metal, and it was stated that it would have been hot to wear. So some things are stated that they would not always wear it. That they would have it, they would put it on when it was needed, but otherwise they had the shield for protection, and then when they would get into major battles, and they would put on the helmet. But it was always with them because they needed the helmet. And Neve helped me a little bit, because I was thinking more about this last night too, and I was talking to her, and she said, well, what about bikers? She said, if you use the representation as bikers, they're not always on their bike cruising along. And then I started to think about Ray and Donna Evans, and I thought, well, if Ray went to bed with his helmet on every night and his gear fully dressed, as we were talking about being dressed earlier, I don't know how much Donna would enjoy that, but Ray would be ready right away to get on his bike and ride, but it doesn't have its usefulness. I don't know why you two come into my mind, but not to put you on the spot too much, but I don't know. Do you go to bed with your helmet on? Maybe you do your bike. No? Oh, not anymore. Okay. But it's beside your bed. they're useful for what they're useful for, the helmet on the bike and all that gear. And it has a point and it has a purpose, just as much as us as we put on the armaments. It has a purpose, it has a need, and we need to use it. So we need to take up that helmet. And when we take the helmet, this is just something for you to think about too in here. When it talks about taking up in verse 13, it says take up. And then as well in verse 16, it tells us to take up. But this take here with the helmet is a little bit different. It is more like in verse 14 where it says to stand therefore, having fastened on the belt, instead of the taking up in verses 13 and 16. This is, the helmet is meant to guard our minds. Too often, us as Christians, though, are not concerned about the head and without protection of the helmet. And Satan comes with his lies. We must receive the helmet offered to us by God. And Robert Jameson says, the helmet, the hope of salvation, is not an uncertain hope, but one that brings with it no shame of disappointment. And it doesn't. You can read more on that with Romans 5 again. The hope of eternal life and salvation make it more likely that the believer, us the believer, will be less likely to accept false doctrine. So we need to be careful with that because doctrine matters. True doctrine matters. So the head of the soldier was important. It was good. Because if you didn't have the head of the soldier, and I don't know how useful the body would be if the head of the soldier was gone. So the head of the soldier was useful. You needed to have that helmet there to care for your brain, to care for your head, because the head is what runs the rest of the body. So we need it. And our minds matter because they run the rest of our body. So if we're getting false doctrine, or if we're swayed by false doctrine, the thing is that it won't be beneficial for us when we're swayed to untruthful doctrine or false doctrine. So we need to be careful what we're hearing about, but not so much that, because it's all around you and things are being said that are not always truthful doctrinally. And that's why I believe that it is important as myself and as other teachers and preachers that we stand firm on doctrine truths and not shift into this presentation of our own opinions of what the scriptures are saying, our own ideas. Not that you can't give concepts, but it's very important that it stays biblical. And then those doctrinal truths will be beneficial in our lives because they will be able to fight off when non-doctrinal truths are presented. And it is very important, I say again, for teachers and preachers to speak true doctrine so that as you and in other churches, as they go out, so they will be able to fend off what is not doctrinally true. So Ephesians 4:21, it says, assuming that you have heard about him and were taught in him as the truth is in Jesus, which was what Paul brought up earlier. So if we have heard about Jesus and if we have been taught in him, we will be able to fight off with the helmet of salvation the fiery darts of Satan who comes to twist truth. Because we know truth because of doctrinal truth. So it's very important that we hold on to what is true. So the sword, the last piece. We have the sword. This sword was the word of God. We must use the word of God to combat Satan. Before I have stated that Jesus, the word of God, to defeat Satan when he was tempted in the desert, Jesus used the word of God when Jesus was tempted in the desert, he used God's word. We too need to use God's word. Remember Peter? He had a sword. He picked up a sword and he cut off a man's ear. We are not supposed to use the sword for that manner. That is not what the sword is used for. This sword that they're talking about is not that. It is not to cut off the ear. Moses did the same thing and he killed a man. But later on, God used Moses and it was God's power that went forth because it was his word that went forth. So we must use the sword that is given to us, and that sword is the word of God. The spirit is not moved by human hands. The spirit has its own power. Hebrews 4:12 tells us, for the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of the soul and of the spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. That is a lot in one chunk of scripture. And that's what it does. It cuts. When we take up the sword of the Spirit, it brings life, not the loss of an ear. As a Christian soldier, we need to use the sword in order to cripple the plans of Satan. In closing, I would like to read what Robert Jameson stated. I think this is helpful. This is off of Matthew 4:11 and James 4:7. And I really encourage, if you have time today, think about all these armaments and even take James chapter 4 and read through it. you might come away with a different view. I know there was a lot of things that, not a different view where you think different doctrinal truths, but a different view where you haven't thought of before and what you're battling against, because we don't battle against flesh and blood. We battle against the principalities of the air. We need to remember that as we go out from here and as we go through to our jobs, or we talk to our husbands or our wives, and as we talk to one another, we need to watch how we respond. It is very easy to respond quickly, but we need to put on the fruits of the Spirit. So, in closing, again I say, Robert Jameson said, "There is no armor specified for the back." I found it kind of interesting. Yeah, they had stuff on, but it was all pointed towards the front. It was all in the front. There is no armor for the back, but only for the front of the body, implying that we must never turn our back to our foe, who is Satan. Our only safety is to resist, is in resisting ceaselessly. So we must resist him ceaselessly. To add to this, we put our hand to the plow and we don't look back. We keep going. Let's pray, and then we'll worship together in song. Father, I thank you again for your word. I thank you that we can stand on your doctrine, that we can stand on your truths, that we can know that this was penned by human hands, but it was your Spirit that was impressed upon man to write out what was here and what is here for us today, and brought down through the years through all the different languages, and it is perfect and complete now, and was perfect and complete as it was done through the years. So I thank you for your Spirit and how it impressed upon all those, so that we could have the Scriptures today in our hands, the full canon, the completed canon. And I thank you that we have an eternal hope that awaits us and a glory that awaits us as we battle through these whether it's last moments or last years or many years, whatever, however many years you have for us to be here physically, that we would be able to battle through in confidence of our salvation and putting on the armaments and holding our ground and holding our ground with other brothers and sisters, and that we would be less desired, that we would less desire to want to destroy our brother and sister, and we would be more desiring to want to guard them and protect. And I just ask that you would bless each one as they leave here today. And I thank you for these words that we have now to sing. In Jesus' name, amen.